Hey, good afternoon, everybody. I'm Steve Rivera, and welcome to Eye on the Ball here on AM 1030, The Voice. I think that we're going to have a pretty good show today. At least I'm excited about it. People on Twitter have said, hey, great lineup, on Facebook as well. Let me tell you right away, we're going to have the Arizona Daily Star's Caitlin Schmidt on here in a moment. I have Chris Gronkowski in the second hour talking about a lot of things like his brother, his new product. He was on one of the business shows now. I just lost my mind with it, but I'll get back to you on that. And then, later on in this hour, we're going to have Andy Morales. He was on the Shark Tank. God, my favorite show. How can I forget the name? And then Andy Morales will come at the end of the first half hour, after Caitlin talks about the new high school playoff system, which makes, I guess, a lot of sense. He's going to explain what it is. But Caitlin Schmidt, are you there? And glad to have you.
I am. Thanks for having me, Steve.
Great to hear from you. I'm excited to talk to you. I want to kind of start just by saying, when you first got into this business, what were you hoping to do? Were you like get into this type of writing or other types of writing?
You know, when I went to journalism school initially, I thought I wanted to do sports reporting, and I kind of fell in love with news and investigative reporting. So it was kind of the perfect storm for me, like a year and a half ago when those two worlds collided.
Perfect. You hit it on the head, which you're doing a great job. And let me kind of say this to the begin with. When all this was going on, and as you probably know, I was with the Citizen for long time, and these things would come up every now and again, but no one really took it as a total beat. You have kind of taken it on as a total beat, and I'm talking the crimes, lives, and crimes of athletes. And you've done a fantastic job, and it all started kind of, in my mind, you'll probably say differently, with the trial or the ongoings of the track coach, Mr. Carter. Is that when it kind of started?
Yeah, that really is kind of when I got into it. I kind of took over coverage of that pre-trial and was involved in that case. And then in October of 2017 was when the first Title IX lawsuit dropped. So, yeah, it started with Craig Carter, and then it kind of progressed with Orlando Bradford, the former Wildcats football player, and then it's just it's kind of snowballed since then.
I was going to say snowballed might be the right word, but even in Tucson we can use that word. And now what you're finding, and maybe you can talk about it more, is it dates or predates all this for a lot of different reasons.
Yes. Yeah, we found allegations of serious violence against women by U of A football players dating back to 2012. That was the timeline that I chose based upon what was going on with one of the federal lawsuits. They had requested records from the similar date, I believe because it corresponded with Rich Rodriguez's time as head coach. But I imagine if we go back further, we'll find the odd case here or there, but I certainly didn't expect to find this volume.
I know that you're popular in certain circles and not so popular in others. That's my guess. You can kind of agree or disagree. But how has Arizona been with you in terms of accommodating with materials?
The U of A has been really difficult. They haven't wanted to provide any more information than they've absolutely had to. So, police reports have come pretty easily from, University of Arizona police, but when I've been requesting other information, they're oftentimes citing, privacy laws. They'll say our policy is not to discuss, discipline against students. So, I mean, I haven't been getting as much information from the school as I would like.
So do you persist on the information? Do you kind of continue and either relinquish or they just continue to say, I'm sorry, we can't?
Yeah, I definitely continue. This kind of all started about 15 months ago when I initially approached the school and asked them if they would give me access to the Title IX training that they provide to athletes.
Sure.
And after 3 weeks, we didn't get a response, so I wrote an article talking about how they wouldn't share that information. They told me that my request was closed, so we wrote another article where Brenda Tracy kind of questioned their transparency at the school, and then they invited us in and finally gave me access to those materials. But it really has been a struggle every single step of the way. I'm still going. We'll get answers eventually. It's just a matter of whether or not the university will be the ones to provide them.
Sure. Don't you think... transparency was the word you used. Don't you think that if they were more forthcoming, that life would be a lot easier on their end as well?
I really do, yes. A lot of the reader responses we've gotten too is why are they, you know, why are they responding this way? Why are they hiding things? Why don't they just tell us? You know, in this most recent story, we'd asked them the names for two football players that attorneys for the school admitted were kicked out of school for sexual misconduct, and they aren't willing to provide those names. And, you know, I've gotten dozens of emails from people asking why are they protecting these people? Why wouldn't they give that up? So, yeah, I certainly think it would be in their best interest to be more forthcoming, but for whatever reason, they don't want to. And I do understand they're in a tough spot.
Sure.
With these multiple lawsuits, but I mean, they're able to say more than they are.
Sure. And the FERPA rules, we all know, are difficult to get through because they try to keep the privacy of the student athlete or students, well, private, of course, given the federal laws. So at the beginning of this, I said you probably have some fans and you probably have some not so many fans. Who are the fans and who are the opposite?
You know, I've heard from a lot of current and former U of A students who are really pleased that this is kind of getting out there. They're not happy with what's going on at their school, but they're happy that someone is shedding light on this. You know, and we also have some diehard U of A fans that just don't want to believe this stuff. And, you know, we've seen this all around.
Sure.
It's
mm-hmm.
kind of the same fan group that was refusing to believe that anybody on the basketball program did anything wrong. So, you know, there's always going to be those kinds of people, but I've definitely received much more positive response than negative.
It's funny. I would assume that in all the background and all the homework that you're doing, you kind of study this thing here on the right, and then you kind of find out something on the left, and it's there's always more to the story. That's just what it is. It's part of our business where we look into one thing and then more things show up. Has that been the case a lot?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and because the university hasn't been providing a lot of information, I've been relying on discovery dispute hearings in these federal trials to kind of find out what's going on. So that's where we found out several months ago that 15 student athletes had been accused of misconduct. I actually think that number is much higher based
sure.
on what we've received just involving the football program. But what's happening in those trials has really helped to glean information and kind of direct me in new places to look and what to ask for.
You know, I compiled the list, and like I said, I was there for 23 years at the Citizen and saw, you know, whatever, had to write about a lot of different things. But even just recently, you had the Carter thing, you had the Elliot Pitts thing, the Rich Rodriguez issues, the alleged rapes that you had just done over the weekend with those. And that was kind of like somebody splurted something out and you looked into it. That was kind of somebody else's thing. The swimming issues, and then the book Richardson. And that's what we know. What about the stuff we don't know?
I know. And that's kind of what we're concerned about. You know, I don't know if any of this would have ever come to light, if it hadn't been for these lawsuits and these women who came forward, because they were able to sweep this stuff under the rug for years. People covering the U of A, people who attended the U of A weren't aware that this group sexual assault even happened, even though two players were kicked out of school as a result. So they've been able to keep these things under wraps really well. And I'm sure we're finding more. I'm gathering a list right now of former basketball players that fall into that same time period to request police reports. And we're just going to go down the list with all of the sports teams.
Right. Just so I know, everyone knows, I'm talking to Caitlin Schmidt of the Arizona Daily Star and the great job that she does in the investigation of a lot of the misdoings or whatever word you want to use at the U of A. You've done a fantastic job. I'm sure that you're almost, this is a 24/7 job.
Yeah, it kind of is, yeah. There's no rest for the wicked, though, right?
That's right. And you're probably aging as we speak.
That's right.
Yeah, but it's a lot of fun, because if it's something that you wanted to do or eventually do in your career, well, guess what? This is a heck of a way to do it.
Yeah, and I'm really proud that, you know, it's so nice to work for a paper where they recognize the need to kind of create this new beat because of what was happening. And I don't know how many local papers have dedicated sports investigative reporters, but it's really nice to work for an organization that values this kind of reporting so much.
Are you a sports fan in general?
I am, yes.
How, you know, I've been in a long time, and, you know, I'm friends with Greg and Bruce and all them. Has it jaded your view of sports?
I mean, it's tough not to. Just, I'm a diehard Colts fan, and it's kind of tough to support the NFL.
You're already jaded then if you're a Colts fan.
That's right. Yeah, it hasn't been easy for us.
Yes.
Lately. But I mean, yeah, all of the information coming out about, you know, toxic masculinity and violence by athletes definitely makes it harder. But, you know, it really is, it's a few bad apples. It's really not everyone. It's just, I think we are seeing this kind of behavior in greater concentrations in these sports leagues. And, you know, it goes beyond Title IX. I think there's some educational components missing from a lot of kids' lives that the pieces aren't connecting necessarily.
Sure. I know you have to get to a meeting at 1:30. We're going to go to break, and if you can come back on the other side, I could spend about 3 hours talking to you about stuff like this. But if you can hang on for a couple breaks, we're going to talk to you again.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Let's go to break, Bob. Thank you.
Where you bank really does matter. Hughes Federal Credit Union is proud to be recognized as the number one credit union across all of Arizona by Forbes. This national recognition highlights our commitment to high-quality products and services, our customer service, digital services, and financial advice. At Hughes Federal Credit Union, we offer higher savings rates, lower fees, and many free services. Make the switch. Join Hughes today. Visit HughesFCU.org/bestcreditunion. Certain restrictions apply. Insured by NCUA.
At the Villas of Houghton, we know we're not the biggest assisted living and memory care property, but that was never our goal to begin with. From the start, we wanted close relationships with our residents. That's why we operate with a 1-to-5 caregiver-to-resident ratio. Our caregivers are able to bond closely with our residents. Our gorgeous home settings feature the kitchen and common areas in the middle so everyone can get together for homemade meals. We also have an activity director that plans parties, cookouts, sing-alongs, and other group or one-on-one activities. Our grounds are beautifully landscaped, and we have secure walking paths and soothing water features throughout our neighborhood. There's a real sense that these are homes, and in time, we become like family. So, if you're looking for an assisted living home with a loving environment and where resident care is the top priority, then you should schedule a tour and see if the Villas at Houghton is right for you. Call 219-0160 or go to villasathoughton.com.
It's a new year, and you deserve a new career. Radio sales is the answer. We currently have account executive positions open here at The Voice. If you're motivated to get ahead and a self-starter, your future is in radio sales. We offer a guarantee against commission and benefits. Send your resume to careers@bustosmedia.com or call us for a confidential appointment at 790-2440. 790-2440.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up on Thursday during the noon hour, Tucson mayoral candidate Steve Farley, plus writer Gary Stewart. Mr. Stewart's new book is titled Call Me Mac, Ernest W. McFarland, The Arizona Years. Buckmaster, during the noon hour on AM 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk anywhere in the world live listening, BuckmasterShow.com.
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030 KBOI. We have our eye on business.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. This is AM 1030, and I'm on the phone with Caitlin Schmidt of the Arizona Daily Star, who I think does a fantastic job of doing her job of finding things out at U of A and the athletes and what they're up to and what they shouldn't be up to. Of all the things that you've written, and there's a long list of things that you've done, what has been the most striking?
You know, that's really tough to say, and I think it changes all the time. I think that this most recent story probably was. The police report for that group sexual assault that we led the story with was really It was the hardest police report I've ever read, and I was a cops reporter before I did
sure.
this. So it was gut-wrenching, and we weren't, we weren't able to get in touch with the victim. So honestly, we left out 99% of the details just out of sensitivity. So, you know, if readers think that what they read there was disturbing, it's much, much worse.
You're talking graphically.
Yeah, graphically. Absolutely. And, you know, this woman had reported to police about a year after it happened and had gone through therapy. And so her self-awareness of the situation was really something. Mm-hmm. It was quite striking. But, yeah, I mean, if you'd asked me 6 months ago, I think I would have said, you know, the previous set of police reports we got was you know, the most shocking. But it's just, it kind of compounds itself. But the fact that, you know, this happened at school and so many people knew about it, but the general public never found out. It's shocking.
Right. Right. And this is the story, the one that was published on Sunday, took, well, since September. You started in September.
Yes. Yeah. And it took some time to, you know, do the legwork to get the date of birth that we needed. And it took some time to gather the reports, and they were quite voluminous. But yeah, it's slow going. It's not breaking news every day, but it's definitely hard work.
No, as these reports are, they're long, they're lengthy, they're, you have to dig in and make sure everything's correct. So this might be a tough question, but through all the things that you've read and had to report, you've probably kind of deduced who the players are or the principals are, but you can't prove it, you can't show their names.
So yeah, the first policy is basically if somebody has not been arrested, we don't name them. We made an exception with Elliot Pitts because he was kicked out of school for sexual misconduct. And in this case, if the school had been willing to provide us the name of the two players that they had kicked out of school, we certainly would have named those players. But the redactions in this report made it so difficult. Even if, you know, we can pick out some of the individuals, we don't actually know which two were eliminated as a result, which has made it tough. And most of these cases didn't even, you know, result in arrests at all. But, you know, of course, we all know by now that doesn't mean that a crime didn't occur.
Right, right. Well, because of this and the reporting in the last 2 years or so, I think they've made some changes, right? Title IX, there's a new guy in town.
So, did a review this summer and made some changes as a result, an outside review by a Title IX attorney, and they brought in the new director. So, yeah, they definitely have made changes. I would just be curious to know what prompted those changes at this particular time.
Right, right. Well, obviously that they need help. You've only gone back to 12, which is a long time, and because of the reasons you stated. Who does this all fall on, or does it?
You know, it's tough to say. I mean, it's not looking good for the football team, but we all know that Greg Byrne was in charge for all of these incidents, for Orlando Bradford, for Craig Carter. He was the man who was running the ship for everything, all of these, you know, allegations of misconduct, even the NCAA bribery issues. So it's tough to say if it kind of was just a systemic issue or if one person was kind of pulling the strings. But, I mean, the good news for current U of A students is, you know, 95% of these people that were in charge are gone.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we have a new administration. There's new people at the helm. There's these new policies in place. But, and I've tried to reach out to Greg Byrne a couple times, but he does not want to speak to me.
No. And I was going to go there. To be fair, you've tried to attempt to reach him, and he's declined.
Yeah, they cited the ongoing lawsuits in his declination, and you know, I don't blame him. He will absolutely be deposed at some point for some of these lawsuits, so maybe we will be hearing from him in that capacity. But yeah, we tried to reach out to him to kind of find out how all this happened.
Sure. And in the meantime, since you started this, Dave Hickey has come aboard. I've spoken to Dave a couple of times at length, not at length, but some things. And I would assume that you're getting the same thing that I'm getting. They're doing everything they can to kind of fix this.
And that's the impression that we get. That review that they underwent by the lawyer was comprehensive. It took several months. Most people were interviewed. We actually asked for a copy of the report, and they won't give it to us. But it would be interesting to know what she turned up. And she did find that, you know, the U of A wasn't violating any laws. They are well within policy, but there were room for changes. So they've hired some additional support staff. I sat down and met with Ron Wilson, the new Title IX director, mm-hmm. a couple months ago, and he's got a very strong background and a really he's very, very committed to student equity and making sure that everybody is treated fairly. So, I mean, I have high hopes going forward, but I wish that they would be a little more forthcoming about the things that had happened in the past.
Right. Well, maybe this will all help you down the road when they eventually kind of, well, there's a trust issue too. I know, I'm sure they think of you as the outside trying to mess with them, but you're not. You're just trying to do your job.
Right, of course, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
They are not my biggest fans.
No. Are you a U of A grad?
I am, yeah.
How does that sit? How does that sit?
It's tough. It's tough. It's hard to go back and report on my school in this capacity. And, you know, a lot of these things, all of these things were going on when I was a student, and I had no idea.
Really?
So,
really?
Yeah.
So let me tell you, because you were a student at U of A, typically, because kids talk, and people talk, as you know, you're in the business, that's strange. If you didn't know, they must have kept things very tight-lipped.
I mean, I think they did, and I was, you know, I was an adult student. I was living at home. I was working, so I didn't have the same kind of campus life that other students did. But, you know, I took classes with athletes and people in the athletic department, and I was certainly privy to rumors that went around school, but there were just no rumors about this that I heard. And judging from the response from readers, there was a lid kept on this, a pretty tight one.
Sure, sure, sure. And a lot of lids, a lot of places.
Yes.
Because it just doesn't involve just one sport. It's, you know, it's across the board.
Yeah, it's across the board. It'll be interesting to see what we find with these other sports. We know, you know, the U of A in one of their trials admitted that there were 15 complaints against athletes and one against a staffer, which we believe is Craig Carter, but we're not certain.
Mm-hmm.
And eight of those athletes were within the football program. So we know that there are at least seven other incidents across other sports that we're still going to stumble upon.
I'm curious, did you try to talk to Mr. Carter?
No, I did not. I just covered his trial. You know, I reached out to his attorneys for comments, and they were very clear, we're not trying this in the media, so it kind of seemed like an interview with him was just not going to happen.
Yeah, yeah, no. I was just curious if maybe eventually that might happen at some point. I think you need to get to a big meeting, don't you?
I do. I have my new apprentice coming in a few minutes, so I'm going to show her the rope.
good luck to him or her. And, hey, Caitlin, if you can ever come back, I'd love to have you on the show. We'll talk more about this very great topic that you get to do every day, if that's the right phrase. I'm not too sure.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's great and awful, but it's I wouldn't want to do anything else right now.
Well, because you're busy. It's always good to be busy.
That's right.
Great, you're right. Caitlin, thanks a bunch for coming on, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Steve.
Appreciate it. Thank you. That was Caitlin Schmidt of the Daily Star, who does a fantastic job. It's great that the Star has come and thought enough about Caitlin's work and the job that she's doing to continue the ongoing investigations on a lot of different levels at the U of A. Just kind of keeping it in check. It is what it is. It's called journalism. We have it here in Tucson. So let's go to break, and we'll come back on the other side. I think we're going to talk to Andy Morales. He covers the high school scene for allsportstucson.com, the place I'm working at too. Here, I'm going to space it out. Thanks, Bob.
I've survived all kinds of winters. This year's different, though. When the temperatures dip lower than my spurs, I warm up with a hearty chili bowl from Sonic. Packed with beef, veggies, and bold seasonings, it's so delicious I wrote home about it. Best letter I ever got, too. It's hearty enough to eat all on its own. I'm not crying. It's the onions. I swear.
Ride into Sonic for new hearty chili bowls. This is how you Sonic. Tax not included. See menu for details for limited time only at participating Sonic drive-ins.
Many medicines used to treat colds and flu contain acetaminophen, a pain reliever and fever reducer found in hundreds of over-the-counter and prescription medicines. But taking too much or more than one medication containing acetaminophen per day can damage your liver. So always read the label and don't take acetaminophen if you drink three or more alcoholic drinks every day. To learn more, visit fda.gov/OTC pain info. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Food and Drug Administration.
Wake Up Tucson with Christy Simone.
Hey, it's Chris from Wake Up Tucson. Join us for the Thursday show. Congressman David Schweikert calling from the middle of the swamp in Washington, D.C. Felicia Chu talking about community activism and running for Supervisor District 3. And then Supervisor Steve Christie talking about Stone Garden grants and more. Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
Wake Up Tucson, mornings from 6 to 10 on AM 1030 KBOI, The Voice.
Flu season is here, and that's why it's more important than ever for you to take care of your health. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the flu vaccine is the best protection against contracting the flu. Now's the time to reduce the chances of catching this season's flu by getting the flu vaccine. It's easy to do. The cost of the flu vaccine is often covered by your health plan, whether you buy your health insurance on your own or get it from your employer through Medicare or a state Medicaid program. Check with your health insurer, then schedule an appointment today by calling your physician, pharmacy, or other convenient place that gives the flu vaccine. Many employers also offer flu vaccine clinics in the workplace. Take the time to make your health a priority and get your seasonal flu vaccine. Remember, the flu vaccine is the best protection against contracting the flu. For more information, including where to find flu vaccination clinics near you, visit the CDC website, cdc.gov/flu. That's cdc.gov/flu. This public service message is brought to you by Optum and this station.
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030, KBOI. We have our eye on entertainment.
Hey, welcome back to everybody. Welcome back to Eye on the Ball. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. This is AM 1030, The Voice, for trusted local news and talk. I thought that was a great interview. Not that I gave it, but Caitlin Smith is a very smart lady and does a great job covering the U of A and whatever's going on there off the field. What'd you think?
Amazing. I think you better watch yourself and, you know, don't... You know, you start yelling at me or something, she's going to put it in the paper. She's going local new radio sports guy takes it out on gibberish assistant or something.
Gibberish assistant. No. And it's been ongoing. She went back to 2012. You could probably go back even further.
You know, it's interesting. It's like she says, being an alma mater and having mm-hmm. to go back there, you know, in the...
Well, let me tell you, I'm not from here. Everybody knows that. I'm from New Mexico, and I have no dog in the fight. It's always good to cover a winner rather than a loser because the job becomes easier. Losing locker rooms are not fun to go into yeah. and talk to players and to coaches. Some are cranky, some aren't. But I know a lot of people who graduated from the U of A and have still an emotional tie in how they write or how they react to games. And I've said this, I have no emotions. I don't cheer at events anymore because of this. I kind of don't like sports in a way because I know how the sausage is made and who we have to deal with.
Interesting.
So I'm just kind of going in there. I hope just to get the story and get out. Make deadline and get the heck out and wait for another day. But I know a lot of people who graduated from the U of A still have that emotional tie and hope to see them do well.
And not going to the U of A, just, you know, being a local, I think. I mean, my father didn't go there or anything
sure,
else.
You
end up with that local tie because, there's nobody else really to root for. We liked it when the
sure.
Cardinals came, but I don't know. It's different. You can't.
Yeah.
It's hard to root for.
But when
Phoenix.
You're in the mix and you're a reporter, you have to be, you know, you have to be central, neutral. But a lot of times that doesn't happen.
Your kids didn't go to
no,
U of A?
No. My oldest went to Rutgers and my other one's a medic in the Army. So they have, and they know what I do, obviously. So they know that I have no real affiliation to the U of A. It's just something I get to do.
Well, someday you'll have to talk about when you did have emotion.
That'll be...
In the 90s, probably, back with the Cowboys, right?
No, before marriage. Before marriage.
Oh, poor God. I know how that got sucked out of you.
I know how that sausage is made, too, so I'm not a big fan.
Oh,
that's,
goodness.
And that's the truth.
That's a whole other show, isn't
and
it?
Welcome to Steve's line. Any calls about marriage, just give me a buzz. As Morales has yet to call in.
He's right here.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I meant to type it in, but we got busy here.
Andy, thanks for calling. I want you to kind of explain what's going on at the high school level. You know, I'm not smart enough to know what's going on. Tell me, what's up with this new playoff system?
Okay, I was getting worried we were going to talk about marriage.
I was getting the heebie-jeebies.
So were we.
Well, basically, this has come to fruition because of the six conferences. You know, we had scores in the championships 70-20, 35-12, 42-16, 67, 65-28.
Yeah, one-sided. So one-sided scores. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
So there's been some domination by several teams in the championships. So the notion of we have to get those teams all in one conference came about, and basically what it's going to do is it's going to pull the top eight from the 4A, 5A, and 6A ranks, those are all conferences, mm-hmm. and make a state championship division of the top eight teams. And that'll be determined, like, the teams will start knowing if they're in the top eight by, I guess, by midway through the season, by mm-hmm. the rankings will start to play out. And what that does, it's a huge benefit for Southern Arizona because teams like Sal Point, Cienega, will not be thrown in the mix with teams like Scottsdale, Saguaro, Centennial, Chandler, those teams that are nationally ranked.
Mm-hmm.
So if this was in place for the last 3 years, for example, South Point would have three straight 4A championships because the only team that's beat them and beat them soundly has been Scottsdale, Saguaro in that time frame.
Mm-hmm.
And conceivably, Cienega would have a state championship Jamari Joyner's senior year because they had to deal with the Phoenix 5A teams that were super teams.
Okay.
So what's going to happen is there's going to be a state championship with the top eight teams pulled out of those four conferences. And typically that means one from 4A, which is Scottsdale Saguaro. And the 6A, 5A, 4A, 3A, 2A, and on will have conference championships.
Okay.
And some people are saying that's diminishing, but I don't, you know, once you have that golden ball in your hand, I don't think anyone cares what conference, what division you're in. You got a state championship. And we've been through this before. Between 2005 and 2010, we had a 4A1 and a 5A, I mean, a 5A1, 5A2, 4A1. 4A2, and no one really said, for instance, Todd Mayfield in 2005 won a 4A2 state championship with Palo Verde. That never would have happened if we didn't divide those. And I don't think 19 years later people cared about that it was a lower division championship. It was a championship. So what this does is it, what I call them destination schools, people call recruiting. I can't comment on that. You know, you can't really prove if teams are recruiting or not. But
sure.
They're called destination schools for a reason. Kids look at powerhouses. They want to play there, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't want to do that? So that groups those teams together, and it gives the other teams, what I call neighborhood schools, a chance, you know, for a title, state title.
Without having
to worry about going up against these powerhouse teams.
So of those eight teams in that playoffs, you're looking at probably all eight teams coming from the Phoenix area.
Yeah. Depending, let's say South Point goes completely undefeated and they happen to beat a couple of Phoenix teams, they might get in that top eight.
Who determines
this? Very difficult.
Who determines that?
It's the power ranking. It's sort of like the RPI in college. You beat someone, and if they beat someone,
sure.
they
mm-hmm.
beat someone. And
is that the AIA?
The AIA with Max, powered by Max Preps, maxpreps.com, which I believe is a CBS corporation. I think they still are.
So it's not a complete bias. It's not a complete bias.
Oh, no. And some people were saying coaches should decide that. That's the last.
That would be the bias. Yeah, that'd be the bias. Yeah.
Where coaches would decide, because, you know, you can tell the implications of that,
sure.
what would happen if we let coaches decide who gets in the playoffs or not.
Do you like this?
Go ahead.
Do you like this?
I like it because it gives Southern Arizona a chance, because the one thing I always hear is Phoenix this, Phoenix that, you know, covering. And, you know, I know it's not true because Phoenix teams also lose in the playoffs. You know, some people believe that every Phoenix team has a championship, and that's not true. There's only a select teams in Phoenix. So what this does, it gives Tucson, Saguaro, South Point, Cienega, Marana. It gives them a shot at a little Tucson High.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be right back in the mix because all those top 7 or 8, 6A teams will be in the state in a different bracket.
Sure.
It gives them a shot at, you know, playing a couple more games, state championship. Only good things can happen from this, in my point of view.
When did this all get started as a discussion?
It gets discussed every 2 years when they realign the conferences. But it's, like I said, it's been very heavily on people's minds because of, like, Chandler beat Perry 65-28. Centennial beat Notre Dame 67-5A. South Point lost to Scottsdale-Saguaro 42-16. So that really prompted this. We need to accelerate this. We can't just have this predetermined. In my preseason thing, I had Saguaro and South Point number 1 and 2, and everyone else did. The NCAA has the same problem because all of their playoff games are blowouts, and those were predetermined, except I think everyone had Alabama winning that.
Sure.
There's always going to be a dominant team, but let's put all the dominant teams together and see who really is, you know, the big man on a totem pole.
So,
and Chandler and Centennial, those are nationally ranked teams. So is Scottsdale Saguaro.
So realistically, let's just kind of look next year. South Point will be the dominant team in the city. I could be wrong. Am I wrong?
Well, they have been, except for they've had difficulty beating Cienega.
Right. Okay. So let's just for them and Cienega, but let's say just for reasoning that they're the best team in the city. Do you think they would want to be in that top eight to go for a title like that?
Theoretically, I think yes. But at the end of the day, you want to compete against your peers, and there's peers and there's peers.
You're talking about,
does NAU want to play in the Pac-12 and compete with U of A, UCLA, and USC? They probably do, but they realize that's not going to happen.
Right. Yeah. So, there's realistic peers and there's peers. Yes.
Yeah. And for years, South Point, for instance, has played 5A and 6A because they felt they had to be with both teams, St. Mary's, because it was a perception thing. But I know that if they would have appropriately play 3A and 4A, they'd have tons of state championships, and the alumni could care less. And that's usually what happens. This is alumni and players. No one comes back 10 years later and says, hey, you only won a 4A championship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no one really cares that there was a 6A and 5A. All this is pretty much, all that is, as you know very well, is media driven. We like to pretend we know what the people are thinking,
sure,
the fans, that they should feel upset that it's only a 4A championship and not a big school championship. When, you know, if perchance U of A makes it to the Rose Bowl through the back door, that's going to count just as much to a U of A fan as winning the Pac-12 outright and making it to the Rose Bowl.
Sure, it's the end.
You know what I'm trying to say?
It's the end goal. It's the end goal.
It's the end goal, and as media, you know, I'm in the same spot as you, where you really don't care if U of A wins or loses. I don't care which high school team. I didn't go to high school in Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, Nogales can win a state championship just as much as South Point. And so when I'm just looking at the fairness and what's best for the teams, regardless of where they think they are or where they should be. Go ahead.
So in today's allsportstucson.com, have you talked to other coaches and get their thoughts on what's being done, and are they kind of high-fiving each other that this is a good thing?
Well, the predominant thing that coaches are waiting for is the realignment first. They need to know, like South Point maybe moved to 5A. That's all being decided this week also in conjunction. So that will affect the whole power ranking thing, and that's going to be depend on prior success, move up or down one conference. Tucson Saguaro may move back up to 5A. So they want to get that straightened out first, but predominantly the coaches I've spoken to and from what I've read also is that they really approve of this, especially in the South. The coaches that are – there's one or two coaches that really aren't liking this, and those are the Phoenix area schools.
Because?
And those are – well, they have this feeling that if they win a 6A conference championship, that won't mean as much as winning the eight-team.
Sure.
And like I said, I think that's a mood issue. I think the fans really don't care. That's a media construct that, it's a bigger thing than what it is. It's so theoretically a 2A championship because you're a small school.
Sure.
Meaningless.
Yeah.
You know?
So. Yeah. Well, I guess.
And there's also issues in the smaller schools. You know, the 1A state championship was 70-20. So, you know, there's always going to be dominant teams, and we have to find a way to fix that. And especially with football, because everyone cares about football.
Right. This is a start for them to fix this thing at all levels, right, I guess?
Well, there were talks about doing the smaller schools, but we want to do the bigger schools first to see how it works. And then, you know, there's always people complaining about private schools and we, you know, do we separate them out? But that's for another day.
I think you hit it on the head. There's always people complaining about something.
Yes. If Scottsdale Saguaro gets blown out by Chandler, then people are going to say, well, we got to end this, but we haven't been there yet.
right. Right. It depends who's getting beaten, who's winning. That'll be determining the future of all this.
Yeah. In high school sports is just as political as, you know, all the other things. And you've been there as a parent, you've seen the politics and
stuff.
So it's not really a money aspect. It's a brag aspect. No one's getting rich. No one's getting rich in high school sports.
No one's getting rich, but there's still a lot of complaining, no matter what.
Yeah, and there's AAU involvement, but there's no Adidas.
Right.
But there's still, you know, we're still in that situation.
I've always said the worst thing to happen to kids are parents, and this is part of that, I guess.
Well, yeah, now that I'm no longer a parent, I see it more and more.
Sure.
It's really disturbing because you hear things, as you know, in press row that because our ears are open to everything because we're no longer involved in coaching or kids, and we hear things coming out of the stands we probably never would have heard as a parent that are very disturbing because, like I said, your ears are tuned into hearing other stuff.
Right.
And you always want to look over your head to see who's yelling at the coach like that.
Yeah.
But it's really a bizarre situation.
And it's been
my appreciation for referees has grown tremendously over the last decade.
Oh, yeah, yeah. In fact, the last few years, in fact, last few months, with all the things going on in the national spotlight and local spotlight, unbelievable. Yeah. Hey, Andy, thanks for calling in to inform me more about what was going on there. I still think it's kind of peculiar, but I guess if that's the way they're going to do it, they're going to do it and see how it works.
Yeah, and right now, very quickly, basketball, it's sell points. So,
yeah.
And that's what the fans in Tucson have to look forward to.
Yeah.
It's a very strong team.
Good. Oh,
all
good.
Right.
Okay, thank you, Andy. I appreciate it.
All right, take care.
We'll be
no
reading
problem.
Mr. Andy Morales on allsportstucson.com. Go there and read everything he does. He does a great job. He's a one-man band. Let's go to break, Bob, and finish out the first hour.
Hi, I'm Lorena with La Hacienda Family Mexican Restaurant. Today, many people want healthy options. At La Hacienda, we have many delicious dishes to choose from, like our vegetarian fajitas, mixed vegetables, stir-fried in our special sauce with mushrooms and peppers, served on a sizzling plate. Or try the spinach enchiladas, or the healthy vegetarian burritos. or the green corn tamales. There is too much to list here. Make plans to join us today. La Hacienda Family Mexican Restaurant, First Avenue and Tangerine, or lahaciendaaz.com.
Hey Tucson, it's John and Cheryl Holcock with Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage. We want to thank you for an incredible 2018.
We pride ourselves in being a full-service realtor to the everyday buyer and seller. We don't buy ugly houses or flip distressed homes.
We are vested in protecting the best interests of our clients in their real estate transactions. Besides, I give John enough projects to do in our own home.
Yeah, that's right, she does.
He's a keeper, folks. So if you're looking to buy or sell a home, now's the time. Call us at 520-342-6586. Honey, no, wait, what are you doing?
Lexus of Tucson announces the newest arrival to its crossover family, the UX Urban Explorer. With a starting MSRP of just $32,000, the UX offers numerous active safety features and Apple CarPlay as standard features. The UX has the best turning radius, highest MPG, and lowest cabin noise of any crossover in its class. Get details and see it now at Lexus of Tucson. Experience amazing. Speedway in Columbus and at the Auto Mall.
I want you to develop a lawyer who's a Thor Jr. and will throw legal lightning bolts into the unconstitutional acts of people who arrogate power onto themselves. That's what I want.
Liberty Watch, so that government remains servant, not master, and Americans remain inspired to make a difference. An America armed and free, about things with a muzzle, a nozzle, or a blade. Sundays, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., right after Swap Shop.
Open calendar. What's my schedule looking like?
Next Thursday, you will be caught in an emergency flash flood between Park and First Street.
What? No, that doesn't work. I'm busy then. Decline. Decline.
Floods don't exactly work around your schedule. Disasters don't plan ahead. But you can. It starts with talking to your loved ones about making an emergency plan. So don't wait. Communicate. Visit ein.az.gov. Brought to you by the Arizona Emergency Information Network, FEMA, and the Ad Council.
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030 KBOI. We have our eye on news.
So welcome back to Eye on the Ball. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. This is 1030 KBOI, Trusted News and Talk. Pretty good show so far. Let me see how I can mess it up, Bob. Maybe ask you some questions and talk gibberish for the next 10 minutes?
I'll just remain very quiet over here and the show will do much better.
Let me ask you something, though. You see it from time to time, maybe or maybe not. When you go to games and how people complain on the sidelines, whether they're parents or not parents, and it means nothing?
You know, for kids' games and
all. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think parents have gotten worse over the years. It's pretty good at the games that I've been with, you know, my daughter. But certainly when I was a kid, there was a few.
Yeah.
But it's nowhere bad. I find it humorous. There's a woman who started the website with YouTube videos, and they videotape
the fights.
Parents.
And, yeah.
Parents going off. And all I remember is my best friend's mom yelling. And she was pretty much the only one that I can recall as a kid. But
yeah.
Did you ever engage anybody?
I did, and I'm going to try to say this as easily or peacefully as I can. My son's played soccer. I think people know that with me and my son.
Yeah.
And I'm not one of those crazy guys. I'm in the business, so I don't like those type of people. And I'm Hispanic, obviously. I understand Spanish. I don't speak it that well, but I understand it. And there were times, a number of times when my sons would be playing and some of the people, the families on the sidelines, they would speak Spanish and kind of yell at the kids and do it in Spanish. And I would get upset because I knew what they were talking about. I knew what they were talking about.
And
it wasn't good. It wasn't to my son, but it was to other people, you know, other general stuff about, you know, trying to coach on the sidelines. And I finally just said, enough already, guys. This is not needed. This is not purposeful. And they looked at me and says, you understand Spanish? I said, of course I do.
See?
I just don't say it. And then they became better at it, or they just didn't do it around me because, you know, they knew I would bring it up because it didn't serve any purpose. It never does, especially the coaching from the sideline from a parent. I just tell them, don't even pay attention to these people because they're not your coach.
I think it ruins it for the kids.
Oh, sure, sure. Like I said before in the earlier segment, I mean, the worst thing that happened to kids or parents because they try to tell them what to do. If that's the case, coach. If that's the case, coach, and then see how it is.
Yeah, and here I am, what, almost 50 years later, and I can still remember that. And I'm sure it's the same, you know,
oh, sure,
for our kids. They're mm-hmm. going to remember all that.
Sure, I'm knowing a lot of kids who say, you know, I just wish my mom or dad would be quiet, just kind of watch. At one point, there was a point I just kind of suggested to a coach, you know, in order to solve this, just tape the games and say, you parents can't go and watch.
I remember
and,
you saying that.
And if you want to see your kids play, here's the tape. Otherwise, we're not going to let you go and see. I know that's kind of extreme,
yeah.
And I don't know if it's possible, but at some point you got to say, enough already. If you continue this, maybe your kid doesn't play for me.
Yeah, I can tell you with the rehearsals for my daughter's theater group, they will say no parents at certain mm-hmm. rehearsals because, you know, we are either speaking or the child is looking at us. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that's hard enough being a kid out there, knowing mom and dad are watching you and you strike out and you feel horrible.
Sure.
Or at the same time, if you do something well, but
sure.
That's a lot of pressure on a little 10-year-old.
And that's where it's starting. I mean, the kids today are getting taught early, and the kids' parents are kind of over them, the helicopter parents, trying to do these things for them. And that's more power to you. Thank God you're there to help and to provide financially and to help them have a nice career if there is one. But it's all about kind of getting a scholarship and doing these things and being good and making a paper or whatever. And we're to be, the media's to blame for that too, because we started at an early age writing about these kids. I mean, hey, I'm totally in agreement that, how can I say this, that we're to blame for this because we do it at a young age. And we don't have to, but we do it, because they deserve some recognition for their hard work. Mm-hmm. But it kind of creates a mess, if you will, because, I saw my name in the paper. Let's do it again. Right. Or this will help get a scholarship down the road.
Have you written a lot over kids? Or are you
no.
just saying?
No, okay. No. But our website, Andy does it a lot for the
yeah.
For our website. It's very popular. Parents love it. But I'm uneasy with it, but it's kind of good too.
Does he hear a lot from parents?
Oh, yes. Yes. We'll have him back. Oh, yeah.
In a bad?
Bad way,
good
yes.
Bay, good and bad?
Correct. You don't Whoa. Talk about my son enough, this or that. You know, it's always complaining about something. That's what I was kind of joking
yeah.
earlier.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, that's what they're good at.
Well, I didn't know. I thought you were being kind of generalized there, but
yeah,
no, straight up, that's what they're saying, huh?
Yeah,
that's
not all of them,
sad.
Obviously.
No, well, no, but probably a dozen.
Enough.
If he writes about 100.
Enough to spoil the whole thing. Yeah, it's just kind of strange.
It makes it so challenging for him, I'm sure.
It does. It does. And then some who are appreciative enough to. Then why do it?
It'd be one thing if they're helicopter parents, but, you know, if they're F-16 armor carrying, then, you know, you get a little afraid of some of these kooks.
Yeah, no, you do, because you see it on the videos. You see it on the videos. Hey, good first hour, at least I think so.
Sure.
You know, I'll pat you on the back.
I was quiet.
You were
quiet.
Yeah. Hey, we got through this. So next hour, we're going to try to talk to Chris Gronkowski, the brother of Gronk, of course, and he has a cool product that made the Shark Tank and is doing very well. And then we'll probably talk to or listen to Sean Miller if he did have his press conference today. I'm pretty sure he did, about 2:30. Thanks a bunch.
You know, that Shark Toe show was just on last night. You know that. That's probably why you called him.
No. I wanted to have him on the show.
It was just,
okay. Thanks.
Be quiet.
Yeah.